after.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist, and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I. The strap of his sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, grace and peace be with each of you from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I've shared this with you in the past, but one of my favorite movies that came out was when I was in high school. It was Roots, you know, by good old Alex Haley. And the main character was Kunta Kinte, right? He had been brought over on the ships, and he had been given an African name, Kunta Kinte, and when he reached America and he was sold into slavery, they wanted to change his name. And they did everything to him to make sure that he would never say the words Kunta Kinte again. Remember that? So there's a scene in that movie. It goes, he's much older, and he's kind of conformed, so to speak, and he's with his master, and they take a buggy, and they go to the neighboring plantation because there's going to be a big party there, and all the local plantations are coming to this big shindig, so to speak. Well, he had been at those things before, and so he knew when he got there he would not be invited in, right? So he'd have to just sit outside and wait for his master to return. And as he was sitting there, he was listening to all the music that was coming out of the mansion. And then he noticed with his other ear, he was hearing another sound. And he decided, I need to go check that out. So he left and he went and he found out that at that plantation there were other slaves. And what were they doing? They were making African music. And it was so important to him when he heard that, it helped him remember who he was. It helped him remember who he was. Baptism is one of those things that gives us a sense of identity. It tells us who we are and whose we are. It also gives us a sense of the function about what we're supposed to be doing with our lives. Jesus' baptism, when I read the gospel, he knew God loved them, right? You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased. So Jesus definitely knew who he was. And Jesus made it really clear in all of his teaching and all of his ministry when he was going out to other people that that same voice that he heard is something that we hear. Something that we hear today. Now, a lot of times people go, if Jesus is God, why was he baptized? Right? Kind of wrestle with that question a little bit. Well, Matthew, in his gospel, he addresses that. Because when he went into the Jordan River to be baptized by John, John goes, oh, I don't know. You should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you. You know, you don't need to be baptized. And Jesus says, yes. Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, Jesus was instructing John to baptize him because he wanted to completely identify with you and I. Completely identify with you and I. That word righteousness, when we hear that word, we have all kinds of things that go in our mind. And it really means doing the right things for God's will. To fulfill all righteousness meant doing and performing the will of God. And what's interesting is when you study this baptism, it wasn't like Jesus was baptized, thank you, John, I'll take over, I'm the main person. Nope. You need to also continue your mission, right? Together, we're going to be out in the world making God known. When I was back in Fond du Lac a number of years ago, there was a group of, I think there was five Catholic parishes, and there were these big, monstrous buildings, kind of all over in the countryside and some in little small towns. They just couldn't put enough money into maintaining them, and, you know, their attendance was down, and so they decided, you know what we need to do? In order to go forward, we need to consolidate. So what they did is they brought together council members, so to speak, from each one of those parishes, and they debated, should we take one of the parishes and remodel it and make that our new home, or should we just start from scratch? They decided we're going to start from scratch. But the one thing that they did is off the fellowship hall, they put a room off of each section that represented each one of the parishes that came together. And so it was really neat because you walked in there and you could see this big old mural of this church, like out in the country or in town. They had the altar and they had all kinds of stuff. It was very, very important for them that they would not forget who they were. Not to forget who they were as they moved on to a new adventure. So what's in a name? How many of you had Shakespeare? Anybody read Shakespeare? It's kind of funny if you get into it and if you got a good teacher. I happen to have a good teacher in high school. I didn't like it before her, but after I had her, I was like, man, I got a great appreciation. But Shakespeare, he asked the question. He says, you know, a rose, by any other name would smell just as sweet. So you ponder what he just said. Well, maybe a name really doesn't matter. Is that what he's saying? As you and I grew up, remember, we would say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names or words will never hurt me. How many believe that's true? Not so. Names are used to hurt us. I think of kids that go to school, they might be cantankerous or they might be a problem child and they get labeled, right? And a lot of times people go, oh, they don't have any feelings. They do, and it really hurts. And then you have teachers, maybe, or parents or other authorities that look at children and say, you know, you really need to prove yourself first before you're going to be loved and accepted. You know any families like that? Well, rather than setting forth this negative message, baptism is more affirming. More affirming. Doesn't even deal with that. It says, you know what? You are beloved. You are beloved. Don't have to prove anything. You're a gift. You're beloved. I love you. When I was in seminary, one of the authors that we had to read was a guy by the name of Henry Nouwen. Fred, did you have to read any of Henry Nouwen's stuff? Henry Nouwen, when I first was looking at it, I was kind of going like, why did they got us reading this stuff? He was a spiritual director, and the way he writes is pretty thick and pretty deep, I would say. You kind of got to work your way through what he says. And one of the things that he said, and this is why they had us read it at seminary, is that even though he was a spiritual director and he was well known, he wasn't always successful in working with other people. They wouldn't listen to his advice, and he felt like a failure. Wow. Really, Henry? You felt like a failure? The stuff you've written, the way you know God? And so he said that, you know, it's times like that that the Father is always looking for me with outstretched arms to receive me back and whisper again in my ear, you are my beloved. On you, my favor rests. Yeah. Well, our baptism, whether you're old or young, you and I are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We are set apart in the name of Christ to be one of his followers, one of his disciples. And we have a specific identity. You know, if you wear the cross, you're letting the world know that you are a Christian. We are a special people, and God always says to you and I, you are my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. You know, the Lutheran Church was, in a sense, founded by Martin Luther, right? Right? And when he was reading the book of Romans, he came over and he was, you know, he was a Roman Catholic monk, and he was really struggling because he thought we really had an angered God, and that God is going to punish you if you don't live the perfect life. And what he realized is, no, we are justified by faith. And it completely changed his outlook and his way of ministry. Well, he was revolutionary in that, right, in that thought. And people didn't like it. They did not like it. They were making all kinds of money over indulgences and other things. And they wanted to kill him. And they did everything to sabotage him. Luther would periodically put his hand up to his forehead and go, I am baptized. I am baptized. In other words, God, I know you're here with me. You'll never leave me. You'll never abandon me. Baptism not only gives us the identity, but it also gives us an awareness of we have a function, we have a purpose in our life. Now, when Jesus was baptized, you know, I like that the clouds were torn open. And the Holy Spirit went and came on him like a dove. I mean, that would have been like, woo, huh? In other words, the Holy Spirit came on him and gave him power to do the ministry, right? Because immediately after he was baptized, where did he end up? In the wilderness, all the temptations, and he survived. As followers of Jesus, you and I need that same power in our ministry. Now, I always like to remind people, when you call a pastor, you're not calling a pastor to do your work, right? You're calling a pastor so we all continue to do more work, right? Because we all have ministries. And I think a lot of times we forget that. There was a pastor and he was baptizing a child. And he got up there and he goes, ah, man, I can't remember the kid's name. So he goes, hey, can you tell me what your kid's name is? Okay, it's Justin Winthrop Charles Adam Lucius McWilliams. Whoa, what a name. He looked to his assistant and said, we need more water. Yeah. Although we might have many different jobs as Christians, the one essential calling that you and I all share is to serve in Jesus' name, to share the good news, and above all, to live the good news with our lives. And sometimes what that requires us to do is to take chances and to take risks, right? But it's worth it. As a church, not as individuals, this is the mistake I see of many churches. They got lots of people, but they only have a few running the show. That's a mistake. But as a whole, we are poised all to see more of the real issues that are in our world. And when we're together, right, we want to bring the good news out into the world to the hurting people. And I can tell you, in our world today, there are a lot of hurting people. A lot of hurting people. You know, when the early church started, you know, they realized, oh my God, God died for me in Christ, and he's empowered me and invited me to be one of his disciples. And they started all of these churches, right? Ephesus and Galatia, Corinth, right? And people were flocking to them because they were feeding them and helping them and inviting them. And they were all welcome. It was free. It was all free grace. Well, as they came in, before they baptized them in the early church, it took 3 years because they wanted to make darn sure that they were ready for what their calling would be, their responsibilities, and their response to God's generous grace. Now, this all changed once parents came around and said, you know what, parents are responsible for raising the kids. So the church has kind of allowed that to happen, right? But we still put all the responsibilities on the parents. Now, I grew up on an Indian reservation, and one of the Native American traditions is that when a boy is at the age of 13, they go from being a boy to a man, right? The teenagers. And so what they do is they take this young boy and they lead him out into the woods. And they go at dawn, right? And when it gets darker, they leave the boy there. And you can about imagine a young little kid, 13, you're hearing all these sounds, right? The cracking of a stick, maybe some wildlife out there. You're probably feeling that it's kind of cold and chilly. You're realizing, oh, man, I'm alone. And you're worried somebody might kill you, right? Well, this little 13-year-old boy, he made it all night. And when the sun was starting to rise, he kind of looked and he goes, oh my gosh, there's a guy. And I see he's got a bow and he's got an arrow. And he thought, oh my God, I'm not going to make it through. He's going to kill me. But as the sun began to come up a little bit more, he realized that it was his father. You see, his father had been there all night long. What a way to teach how God is always with us, right? Whatever we face, God is there. He's always present. God's Spirit, that same Spirit that came at Jesus' baptism, comes to us in our baptism, and it protects us, directs us, empowers us to do what God has called us to do. You see, there is nothing like being baptized in the Spirit of God, because he's with us all the way to the very end of time. St. Patrick, he wore a breastplate. And back then, you know, they would war. And on his breastplate, he had this saying. It said, Christ be with me, Christ within me. Christ behind me, Christ before me. Christ beside me, Christ to win me. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Amen. We'll join our voices as we sing On Jordan's Banks. On Jordan's banks the Baptist cry announces that the Lord is nigh. Awake and hearken, for he brings glad tidings of the King of Kings. And cleanse me every life from sin, make straight the way for God within, and let us all our hearts prepare for Christ to come and enter there. I invite you to please rise. And together let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the new year that is upon us and for the new life in Christ that is within us. May we hold fast to your promise through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we are indeed free from sin's control and have new life because he gave his own life for us. Help us to remember and recall our baptism into this new life so that we may share the hope and peace we have in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious and merciful Father, we pray for all who are in the midst of taking care of loved ones. May they feel your presence and guidance to be compassionate caregivers, revealing your continuous love through them. Give them patience and understanding as we are reminded of your promise through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, Heavenly Father, help us consistently care for the leaders and pastors of our church. May we continue to lift them up in prayer for their own well-being and for the well-being of the whole church. We thank you for their presence in the church and in the world as beacons of light and hope to a people in need of your peace, presence, and hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, Almighty Healer, we pray for those who are afflicted with chronic pain, depression, and other health issues that affect their way of living in this world. May the promise of eternal life with you give us all the hope we need to sustain us. We especially remember silently aloud those we name.
Dale.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend for all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.